This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week begins. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've been dealing with rain and snow mixture through the morning hours. That's moving out, but it's going to be breezy and very cold for the next 24 hours or so. Right now, we've got 23 degrees is the wind chill index.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we continue to see gains across the board. The Dow up 247 points to 25,785. NASDAQ up 1.3%, moving above 7,400 and gaining 98 points. S&P advancing 25. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index up 0.2%. Oil futures are higher, but not quite as high as we saw in the beginning of the session. Right now up more than 3% to $52.50. Car makers are in the green after posting better than expected November sales results. We've got big gains for Fiat Chrysler. They saw their sales surge 17% in November compared to the previous year. Toyota and Honda's U.S. sales were lower than expected for the month. The bond and stock markets will close on Wednesday for the funeral services of George H.W. Bush. That is customary. The last time it occurred was the state funeral for President Ford in 2007. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, a local media giant may be sold, and we have suggestions from our Monday stock picker.
Also, the maker of Marlboro may want to get into the pot business. All of that and loads more coming up on today's Noon Business Hour.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There is a buyer for Tribune Media's broadcast properties in Chicago and across the country. We're going to cover that in our next segment right now. Big development in the U.S. trade war with China, while there's also key data out today. We're joined by Lance Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist at Clarity Financial in Houston. What's developing in the talks today, Lance?
Well, you know, first of all, over the weekend, of course, we saw that China and Donald Trump, President Trump and President Xi, came to an agreement to basically just postpone the tariffs and the trade war at least for 90 days. You know, this was something that the market welcomed, you know, in the short term, because there's been a lot of pressure on the markets in October, November, concerns over rising interest rates, rising tariffs combined. We're seeing that start to show up now in earnings reports from companies. So the markets were very, very oversold from the sell-off that we had in November. So this bit of news was at least a welcome relief. Now, it hasn't changed anything. We haven't come to any trade agreement. We've talked about China buying more products previously. We've talked about, you know, them coming to the table to negotiate a trade or settlement of that trade war. None of that's happened, but this at least just gives the market some breathing room for the next 90 days.
What basically does President Trump want, and how does he feel that he'll get that?
Well, that's going to be the interesting thing. Look, there's about 80% of this trade war that China will agree to. The 20% they won't agree to, and they're not ever going to agree to it, is on technology transfer. That is the future for China and the growth of their economy. That's the one big sticking point that basically Donald Trump wants to get back from China. He doesn't want to transfer technology to China. That's the sticking point for China. So all this other negotiation is going to be fine and dandy until we get to that one point, and that's where this trade war is going to continue to linger. I would not expect to see any resolution over that over the next 90 days. So this is something that's going to be potentially bring more tariffs and more pressure from the U.S. I don't think we've resolved anything just yet.
We see a lot of stories about businesses in the U.S. talking about how the tariffs are impacting them negatively. Any sign yet that the tariffs are having a negative impact on China, where maybe they would also be more willing to come to the table?
Well, see, this is the interesting thing. Yes, first of all, if you take a look at what's happening in China's economy, there's definitely an impact to China from tariffs. There's a huge difference, though, between the way China runs their country and we run our country. They are a managed economy. So when they begin under economic pressure, the government issues debt. They provide credit stimulus throughout the economy. So they support the issue of the economy, regardless of what's happening, with their actions. So we don't do that here. So the impact to the U.S., we would ultimately, on a longer-term basis, lose the war, so to speak, with China over this, because China will manage their economy. Ours is driven by capitalism, and ultimately corporations are going to be reporting more negative impacts from tariffs and trade and interest rates if we continue this much longer.
Now, when it comes to an investor who is dealing with this trade war, I think we can call it that, what are you supposed to do? Even with a 90-day truce, there's still a lot of uncertainty.
Absolutely. Look, we haven't changed anything. Last week we saw Jerome Powell from the Federal Reserve talk about that we're closer to the neutral rate. Now, what that means is on October, he said, we're way far away from the neutral rate. The neutral rate is where the interest rates are equivalent to economic growth. What Jerome Powell said last week was that economic growth in the U.S. is weaker than what they had previously expected. That's why we're now closer to the neutral rate, and that's why potentially they'll stop hiking rates next year. We'll see. But that's actually not as good of news as what it was taken by the markets last week. The relaxation of the trade war here is another issue. Look, the markets got very oversold in November. We're having a nice bounce off those lows, but we have a lot of things going into 2019. Weaker earnings growth, year-over-year growth rates and earnings are going to slow down because of just the impact of what happens on annualized changes. And the Federal Reserve is reducing their balance sheet by $50 billion a month. So there's a lot of pressure on stocks and valuations at this point. So for investors, it would certainly pay to be a bit more cautious going into 2019. Look, we've had a decade of great returns. Have a little bit more cash on hand. Reduce your risk a little bit. Don't chase markets as much. Let the markets start to kind of work through this, and we'll have an opportunity to understand it better and make better investment decisions once this volatility is behind us.
Great information. Thanks for joining us today, Lance. Lance Roberts is Chief Investment Strategist at Clarity Financial in Houston. You can find him on Twitter at Lance Roberts and at realinvestmentadvice.com. And up next, the sale of Tribune Media is going to create the largest owner of local TV stations in the U.S.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Texas-based Nexstar Media Group has agreed to buy Tribune Media for just over $4 billion. Joining us to talk about it on the International Autos Orland Park Business Line, Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Verter Group here in Chicago. Tim, let's just begin by talking about this deal. Give us some of the nuts and bolts of what's going on here.
Well, Cisco, this is the second go-around for the television assets of Tribune Media, which was famously acquired and then not acquired or not approved by Sinclair Broadcast Group. Nexstar is a similarly large television station group with more than 100-plus TV stations all around the country, and is poised to now make a slightly higher offer than Sinclair originally did to acquire all of Tribune Media's television stations and all the other components that come with it. And in essence, is a reflection, as we've talked about in many previous episodes of this little show, the need for scale in the broadcast television space against a very dramatically changing and shifting television and media landscape.
Now, you expect this deal to go through where Sinclair had its challenges?
Yeah, so Sinclair brought with it a lot of, shall we say, extraneous baggage, some of it political, some of it in its presentation of news, and frankly, a bit of a sort of a hard-edged kind of approach to regulatory matters in terms of interpretation and analysis. Nexstar is an interesting story in and of itself. It kind of got started about the mid-1990s and has grown from one station to what is now basically poised to be the largest TV station owner in the country, and frankly has gained a very good and solid and respected reputation for running stations quite efficiently, smoothly, and with an eye towards where the future of television and broadcasting is going.
Tim, you mentioned that there's a dramatic change in the way right now it's starting to be in the picture of TV, local television. What does that look like?
I mean, Chris, that's a great question, because the real understanding and the real value of what local television means in this day and age, where everything's available on demand and via mobile devices and all that, there is a narrative out there that local news programming and local TV stations are arguably more important than ever against the sea of all that change and everything being available to us every second of the day. That said, there is a bit of an anachronism in what the local television proposition is. I mean, how many, we can question whether, television news viewership at the local level is growing. It's certainly probably, I would argue, not. The value of advertising in local is changing. So the proposition I think a lot of people sort of underline this with is scale will matter, and live events and sports in particular will still matter, and broadcasting seems to be pretty well positioned for at least that part of a changing television and media landscape.
Tim Hanlon, always appreciate the insight. Tim is founder and CEO of the Verter Group here in Chicago. Still ahead, a check of the markets from Bloomberg, and later, a major cigarette maker explores a move into marijuana.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Business news is sponsored by Baird. Let's get the latest with Elisa Parenti.
Chris, the Dow is higher by 285 points, or more than 1%. We're now above 25,800. NASDAQ gaining 103 points, or almost 1.5%. The S&P advancing 30 points. And the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher by 0.2%. Crude oil futures are rallying today, up more than 3.5%, a gain of almost $2 to $52.75 a barrel. Now let's turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets remain higher as we go through the noon hour. Positive news from this weekend's G20 meeting and a trade truce thus far has been price supportive. No specifics have been given for the bean purchases, but additional tariffs being placed on hold is price positive. Corn futures are 3 to 4 cents higher, beans 10 to 11 cents higher, and the wheat market up 4 to 5 cents. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Kurt, thank you. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are higher to start the week. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll have some ideas from a money pro.
The maker of Marlboro cigarettes is reportedly in talks to buy a marijuana producer in Canada.
The Bulls have fired head coach Fred Hoiberg.
The body of 41st President George H.W. Bush is being flown to Washington, D.C. for his funeral.
On Wall Street right now, the Dow Industrials up 260 points, the NASDAQ up 95, S&P 500 up by about 27.
Lots of clouds in Chicagoland, still some lingering flurries, no real accumulation though. Right now, 34 O'Hare, 35 Midway, 33 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
And stocks are gaining ground this hour. We're joined by Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. Jack, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Some business in China is being laid here today, and apparently they're getting along okay.
Well, at least for the next 6 months, Chris, President Trump and President Xi agreed to was to kind of put a six-month hiatus on escalating this trade battle between the first and second largest economies in the world. And that's certainly assuaged a lot of investor fears. And we were up nearly 400 points at the open, but still now 260 is not bad.
So as they move forward with this, do you think we're going to find something that sticks?
That's hard to tell. I think the two countries are so far apart. Because this isn't necessarily about aluminum, steel, autos, and the like. I mean, it's really about intellectual property. It's about China's advances in technology, in alternative energy. And so it's really, I think this is a more of a policy clash than it is just a little trade tactic. And when you get into big picture policies like that, it gets very messy, and I don't see how these big issues can be resolved over even a six-month period.
Let's talk about some of the companies really impacted by what's going on with China, because obviously not all industries are created equal in this regard. Tell us about some that are really watching this closely.
Sure. I mean, if you think about the companies in particular that really kind of built their global supply chain based on the rules of the road leading up to the Trump administration, you know, these are companies like GE, of course, now trading below $10 a share, General Motors and Ford, where they've got a supply chain all over the world. They're building everywhere. They're selling, trying to sell everywhere. And that, you know, we've essentially, they're all of a sudden having to make a pretty abrupt U-turn. And even Apple now, sourcing product, obviously in Asia and selling, globally, could feel the pinch of some of these, trade tariffs, and their stock, you know, tumbled accordingly, last week. So, getting a little bit of a relief here, but, again, if this isn't a tactic and this is really a policy, then there are a number of these, you know, multi-country, global companies that could be caught offside here.
And what would some of those companies be looking for, maybe positively, out of some of a, some agreement if they finally do end up reaching a deal? What could actually benefit some of these companies?
Sure. I mean, you know, take, for example, General Electric. You know, previous CEO Jeff Immelt said he wanted 60% of its business to be sourced in the emerging world. Well, this is an area of the world that you know, has a burgeoning middle class. I mean, this is, you know, nearly as a consequence of globalization, nearly 2 billion people move from abject poverty toward actually some household income. And so having the ability to tap into this growth could be hugely beneficial for U.S. companies. And that's something that, you know, we have to balance with some of these America First policies that we're imposing.
Do investors see some kind of signal here? And is that going to tell people maybe there's a new opportunity in the markets while this is going on?
It's hard to say. I mean, there are a couple things that were really keeping me awake at night, Chris. There was certainly the resetting of interest rates. You know, as we've talked about in the past, how the markets have gotten accustomed to these below market rates, and that as the central banks start to move to the sidelines, these rates could create a headwind moving forward. The good news is Fed Chairman Powell last week offered some conciliatory remarks with respect to the higher interest rates. And so that assuaged some of those fears. And then, of course, this impending trade battle. Again, when you have the largest economy in the world battling head-to-head against the second-largest economy in the world, clearly global economic growth will suffer, and we're starting to see growth slow. Now, we're not seeing recessions. We're not moving into negative territory, but those high positive numbers are now closer to low positive numbers as we look at, say, world manufacturing and the like.
If you were the president of Intel or Apple today, what would you be doing?
Well, I'm not sure I'd be selling my shares, but since you'd have to disclose it. But I think that, you know, like I said, I still fear this, you know, this six-month reprieve is great, but I don't see any change in this policy. Perhaps President Xi realizes, look, I'm essentially the emperor now, and my tenure is as long as I want it to be, and this guy I'm negotiating with will likely only be there for another couple of years more, so maybe I'll just wait it out. But meanwhile, these companies, you know, Intel and others, have to, you know, have to manage their business accordingly And that's a lot of uncertainty. And I'm not sure exactly what I would do. I guess that's probably why I'm not the CEO of one of those companies.
Yeah, me either. All right, Jack, thanks. Always appreciate the insight. Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. Up next, Big Tobacco eyes a foray into the marijuana business.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There's a report Marlboro cigarette maker Altria Group is in early talks to acquire Canadian cannabis producer Cronos Group. Joining us to talk about it on the International Autos Orland Park Business Line, Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management, also Fox News business contributor based in Orlando. All right, Gary, what do you hear about this deal and what do you make of it?
I have four words. I do not understand. This company has literally no sales, but they're willing to, if they bought it here, it'd be $2 billion out of their pocket. But just know this has everything to do with the business of cigarettes is heading south as far as south can be, and they're looking for any alternatives out there. I'm not sure this is the right one, but I expect actually more of this, not less.
Is there a chance that a big major company could actually turn one of the marijuana companies into the leading producer, the leading player? I mean, I'm thinking, as we've talked before, we just don't know what's going to happen with pot and which companies are really going to be a success. But Altria, I mean, they could maybe make some moves here.
Yeah, look, when a big company like Altria that has, good pipelines in business and the marketing and all that, yeah, there is potential there. So that's the point. I do get it. But I must tell you this. It feels like everybody and their grandmother is getting involved with marijuana now. It seems like the big thing right now in markets right now. We're seeing ridiculous valuations in the stock market on it. The good news is a bunch of them already dropped 70, 80, 90%. By the way, a bunch of Canadian names, and this Cronos is a Canadian name. And there's another one called Tilray that actually has a $10 billion market cap with only $30 million in sales. So it's a little bit crazy out there, and that's why I wonder what they're thinking. But again, just like Coca-Cola had to expand and get into water and all kinds of other things, I gather these tobacco and cigarette companies got to start looking elsewhere.
There was a report last week that Altria wanted a stake in Juul, the vaping product.
And amazingly, Juul's very controversial company, and they haven't been around a very long time. You know, there's been all this talk about the vaping and how bad it is and how young people are getting so involved, and there's going to be more restrictive laws. Again, looking elsewhere to grow a business that is no longer growing. And again, I give you the greatest example is the Coca-Cola, Pepsi, getting into other businesses also. Once you own the world and you sell everything and you can't sell anymore, you definitely go to other places. And it looks like the pot business looks like the business du jour right now.
You know, it's interesting, though. I contrast that with something like Sears or some of the electronics stores where they were not able to pivot, yet some of these other companies are pivoting fairly well.
Well, look, it's about who's running the business and whether they know what the heck they're doing. We have seen in the last 10, 20 years companies go bye-bye. Think of all the companies like a Circuit City, which is gone, but Best Buy has thrived. So, yeah, it's about who's running the place and how well they're going to run it and being able to move with the markets and move with the time, because things are constantly changing in all kinds of business out there. Look what's going on with autos right now. Everybody's getting out of building cars, going to more of the SUV. So if you do not change with the times, you lose in those times. And that's what is going on here. And that's why I think you see an Altria Group trying to go elsewhere.
Thanks so much for the insight. Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. His website is GaryK.com. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Stock Picker Monday, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. And helping us out this afternoon, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Chuck, what's your first pick today?
The first pick is Walgreens. The symbol is WBA. I like this stock in this environment. It's kind of a low volatility way to play the volatility that we've seen in this market for investors that are kind of nervous about the volatility. You get a pretty decent dividend yield of around 2%. Their earnings results have been pretty steady, and it's going to continue to be pretty steady in 2019. You know, just overall, it's a kind of, you know, we call them steady Eddie stocks. They're probably not going to be at the top of the leaderboard in any particular year, but they should generate a pretty good total return for investors. And again, it provides a little bit of a lower volatility, lower risk way to play this market right now. So WBA trades for about $85 right now.
All right. The other for the other one that we're talking about is Chevron. Since we're talking about oil with you, as this is a good one. CVX is the symbol.
Yeah, it may kind of raise some eyebrows, like, boy, this guy's recommending an oil stock when oil prices are getting hammered. But, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes, you know, to be a little bit contrary is not the worst thing to do, especially when you're talking about oil stocks. My guess is, I don't know if we've seen the bottom in oil. I know it's a lot cheaper than it was 30, 45 days ago. And I think a stock like Chevron can really benefit if, in fact, there's a decent floor has been put in. The stock has actually held up pretty well in an environment when oil prices have fallen as sharply as they have. It's only down, I say only about 10%, which is not bad relative to a lot of the other oil producers. So it's been showing pretty good relative strength in the group. You get a dividend yield of 4%, which I think is attractive right now. And again, I think it's a nice high-quality play in that space for investors starting to kind of probe in oil stocks, given the idea that perhaps we're getting close to a low in oil prices here.
Okay, the two picks, Walgreens Boots and also Chevron. While we have you on the phone, what's the Dow theory telling us?
Last major signal under the Dow theory was a bull market signal. We did not get a confirmed bear market signal. While the industrials did go to new lows, that was not confirmed by the Dow Jones Transportation Average, which is what you need to have a trend change, and the transports actually look even better than the industrials right now. So it's still a bull market, according to the Dow theory.
All right, Chuck, thanks for being with us. Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter. Past programs and later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. Bloomberg checks the markets next. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
We have big gains here with the Dow up 209 points, moving above 25,700. NASDAQ up 78 points, moving above 7,400. That's a gain of more than 1%. S&P higher by 21. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining 0.5%. Nexstar is the new owner of Tribune Media. Nexstar Media Group has bought the company for more than $4 billion in cash after the deal with Sinclair fell through. When this deal closes late next year, Nexstar will replace Sinclair as the nation's biggest owner of local TV stations. Nexstar owns about 175 stations that reach about 40% of U.S. households. Tribune has more than 40 stations, plus the WGN America network. Altria is looking to get in the legal pot business. Reuters reports it is in early talks to acquire Cronos, that is a Canadian cannabis producer, stock in Cronos Group surging about 13%. And salad lovers may do a double take when they see prices for Iceberg, Greenleaf, and other types of lettuce in the wake of the romaine lettuce scare. A carton of Iceberg lettuce at wholesale markets in California fetched as much as $60 last week, up from a low of $24 the day before federal authorities issued the warning to consumers about romaine. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.